an ex-wife.
Good morning, Dick.
And C9B. Mobile. Good morning. Beginning to wonder if anybody was out there this morning. Good to hear you.
I hear you, sir. I hope you're having a good morning. Working on your coffee. Looks like it's going to be another sunny, clear day. A good day to work, I guess.
That four-letter word done passed me by a few years ago. I'm lucky I get to do what I want when I want, and if it's good weather out there, I find something outside to do.
Yeah, I'm just playing at working. I like my play bunny, so I go in and work a couple days, that's it. Don't want to work more than that. Oh, they got two lanes open up. No more cattle shoot? What? Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I thought I was getting a dream here. Coming into the cattle chute, and it's different this morning here. The last time I came through here, they go to the right lane now, and we're actually driving to some of the new stuff.
Sound like they're making a little progress then.
Move it down a little bit further, and they'll be working on this thing for another 2 or 3 years, I'm sure.
Some of these two-year projects around here drag on for about 20.
That works, isn't it? Yeah, they ain't drag them on out. I don't know. I guess taxpaying money hard at work.
Well, anyway. What time are you getting off today?
A little different run today. And they may, the way they were talking, they got work out the wazoo. So they called me yesterday. So I know Thursday you don't normally work, and you're on vacation. Is there any possibility you can work tomorrow? I said, I'll tell you what. I'll come in and work for you tomorrow. He says, well, are you sure you wouldn't be interested in doing any of this container work? I said, well, I'll tell you what. If you want me to do it, you give me the Twic card, and I'll do some container work, too. I'm just that flexible.
Well, my brother-in-law's a retired truck driver, and I think he's got hazmat and all that good stuff. Still got all that current, you know, if y'all need somebody every now and then.
We don't do any hazmat stuff. We don't do any tankers. All ours is either containers or dry vans and stuff, you know, the trailerable stuff. And I like the trailerable stuff because it's no-touch freight. In other words, I don't have to do anything with it. I open and close the doors. That's all I do.
He wound up working for years right around Gringle, and, you know, he had to, you know, take this stuff off the truck and put it on the dock and wait on them to do something with it. That was about half the day.
That's usually the way it works. You wait on the dock workers. It's not you. It's not getting it there. It's just when it gets there, what are they going to do with it? And answering your earlier question, I guess I'll probably get off about 12:30, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, somewhere in there. I don't know. It depends whether they throw something else on me this afternoon. The run I'm doing today is I'll go from Donaldson Center over to Spartanburg back over to Donaldson Center. So, and it involves 4 truck moves. So I got to hit 4 different docks in that. So, not a biggie. It's a piece of cake. It's just, they're going to do something later on this afternoon. And then if they do, what is it? So, it's always a dumb. 6 of one, half a dozen the other. NC9V mobile.
Well, back in 1956, that Donaldson area was a Air Force base, and that was where I was born. And it's kind of ironic that in my later years, I wound up back within 30 miles of the place. So, my dad was Air Force, so I learned how to stay. step off with my left foot, and everything was yes sir, no sir, and you know, along those lines, KF4NXY.
Hey Dave, I'm a military brat myself. I was in the Navy, at 26 years. So he was always, what do they call it? It wasn't on patrol. It was deployed. I don't know, something like that. He was always out. A couple times that, you know, father-son time, you could bring your kids aboard the ship. And we go there and eat all the ice cream you can have, all, you know, milk, chocolate milk, you know, all that the stuff is 24/7. So, I enjoyed it. Had a lot of fun. We moved a lot, that's for sure.
We did a little bit of moving, I remember one time when he was stationed at Shaw Field at that time at Shaw Air Force Base now. But anyway, his assignment was on a helicopter. We were living in Casey, and we were outside, and him and the crew come flying over, and I just waved, you know, hey, Pa.
That's always fun. Brothers, both of them went through Shaw Air Force Base. One was an aircraft armament specialist, and the other one was a traffic control guy. He did the aircraft, you know, traffic, what do you call it? ATC? Yeah. He was one of those guys. Yeah, I think he still does that out in Lake Camisaw, Arizona. But you talk about flying around and everything. I used to fly around in Charleston with the aviation unit there as a spotter, and I was attached to a crime task force there, and this, that, and the other. So did a lot of flying. Plus, went to go scope out stolen vehicles, and actually got to fly a helicopter once in a straight level flight, which is probably the easiest thing to do when you fly a helicopter. Let me do that, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And I heard to fly is heavenly, but to hover is divine.
Yeah, hover stuff. You know, hover means you got to be close to the ground. I don't want my hands anywhere near the controls to the ground.
You saw they'd kind of rag on each other back in the day, I think, you know, just kind of trying to aggravate each other. But, yeah, I think down there near Shaw Field, they got a, I don't know, resort, campground, cabins or something. And not sure of the lake, but it's got a lot of catfish in it from what I hear. Santee Cooper, that's it, I think. But you got to be careful. Got a lot of trees. You know, I don't think the Corps engineers got it cleared out real good when they flooded it.
I did a lot of boating. My father retired in Charleston, so that's pretty much where I grew up. And we used to do a lot of boating. Him being a Navy guy, so yeah, we used to have a military base up there called Short Stay. Which any of the armed forces can use it. And rent you, I think they let you rent up to 2 weeks at a time. But spent a lot of hours on that lake, fishing and playing, swimming, that kind of stuff. And they got plenty of stumps all over the place in that thing. But the fishing's good, really good fishing, especially cat fishing. And then we used to, the Tail Race Canal right there, Lake Moultrie. We used to do a lot of fishing there, shad fishing. But it's still, you know, fresh water up that far, fresh or brackish.
You know, a lot of my teenage years down around Lexington, I lived in a little place called Jake's Landing for a while, and got out on Lake Murray a good bit, and there's out there around those towers, it's a good place for striper, and there's, you know, Lake Murray, pretty decent size lake, and it's just, you know, all kind of good places back in there, but it's gotten so commercialized. I mean, you know, 50 years ago, it wasn't too bad, but you try to get out there on the lake on a weekend now, they need a traffic cop.
I said that because we just came back from Lake Murray. We stayed at Dreher Island State Park. Didn't want to come back. Let me tell you. Yeah, we put our boat in the water and left the boat in the water the whole week we were there. And we had a blast. The week went by so quick. It's like I blinked my eye and it was gone. But, yeah, we had the boat out. We were out on the boat. Not yesterday, but the day before yesterday. Out on Lake Murray. We loaded it up. And brought it up to the camper. And we started packing the camper up so the next day we could get up and get out of there. Came back home yesterday. And when I get home today, I get to go start unpacking. Because you accumulate a lot of stuff in the camper over a week.
When I was a kid, Mom and Dad had a little pop-up camper. And it wasn't all that big till you opened it up. And we'd, it was called Pirate Land. I don't know if it's still there, what they call it now. But if you got a spot down there right near the ocean, it was a good enough breeze. You just, keep the tent part of it open. It was real comfortable. And we'd stay down there for a week for next to nothing and really enjoy ourselves, get to know the other campers. And it was always a good trip.
Pause there and see if Ken wants to jump in there yet. Yeah, I think it's still there. It's been a while since I've been back to Myrtle Beach, but the last time we were there, I think it was there. I was hoping Ken would jump back in. I think he may have went over there. I don't know. But, yeah, it's a lot of camp. We usually stay at Myrtle Beach State Park, and they've got some campgrounds that are campsites. They're just a hop, skip, and a jump to the beach. I mean, you're right there on the beach. But you got to walk the little nature trail to get there. But that's always fun because you get to sit there and watch the planes come in because they fly right over the beach coming in and over the campground. So you're watching airplanes all day long. And it's C9B Mobile.
KN4 TFW Mobile.
NXY, yeah, just a quick comment. When I was a teenager, me and my buddies went down there, just graduated high school, and run the campgrounds to let us in because we weren't adults. Somebody said, go to Spring Maid. It was at the end of the runway for the Air Force Base. And it was cool. I could look up and see the pilot. KF4NXY, y'all go ahead.
I'm glad to hear you guys had a good time down there at the lake.
Well, better if you were to come with us. We had three sites. One right across from the lake, and then we were on the lake, and a friend from Charleston came up, and I guess that'd be my sister-in-law. She came up with her camper, and she was in the spot next to us on the lake.
And you got to spend some time together.
It had a blast. Didn't want to come back, that's for sure.
A taste of retirement.
Yeah. Dave, we're like you. We don't like doing anything on the weekends. And Lake Murray, on the weekend, it backs up, so... The dates that our friend picked out was Wednesday through Wednesday, which included the weekend, and I don't like being at the campground or on the lake at the weekend, so, you know that went. But anyway, we tend to go during the week and had a great time. I was going somewhere with this. I don't remember where I was going. Darn it. But anyway, go ahead, Ken.
And here on the weekend makes you think you're at the ocean.
It's just amazing what the difference between weekends and non-weekends are. I told my sister-in-law that came up from Charleston, she just retired. I mean, she's been retired over like a week and a half. And she was all excited about this trip. She texted Wendy last night and said it was the best vacation she's ever had. I mean, we just sat there and talked about everything under the sun. And just had a blast.
T-Mobile. KN4 TFW.
in there, sir, in C9B.
John, David, how are you guys all doing this morning?
Good over here.
I guess I'm happy to get back to work.
Last up to Friday. You know, Thursday's always a good day because, you know, Friday's tomorrow.
Where I was going with that conversation, that's the thing about Friday. You're talking about we didn't want to come back. I tried to extend, Ken. Tried to extend it. I called up the office. They had already written our spot out. Apparently the day before it was empty, but I called the next morning because I couldn't get anybody in the office. So I finally got it the next morning. Oh, no, it's already been rented. So, yeah, it wasn't going to be worth moving the camper over another site to stay another 2-3 nights. Yeah. Come and check it out during the week. All kind of opens. And we need to plan a trip during the middle of the week.
All right, it's going to definitely be during the week. You know, if you want to check in on a Sunday afternoon, that's the best day to check in.
That might be 100 years old by that time that happens.
That week camping when nobody else was there.
Yeah, Myrtle Beach State Park one time for Labor Day. And then it was, you know, when it came to be that Sunday and that the next week, buddy, it was abandoned.
Was yesterday when we left. Of course, I understand them renting our site because usually they rent it, you know, the weekend. So people rent it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they, to lock it in, they'll rent it Thursday. They cancel Thursday the day before, you know. Well, as I got to dump my tanks because, you know, Shelby Hamfest didn't have any dump station. So, well, they got them dumped anyway.
Hook up to the fairgrounds.
But, they say they have them, but if you see where they put them, yeah. I'm not going to run my hose that far away.
What were you in? Were you in the overflow area, or were you on the main lot?
We were in space number 5, down the row, the big circle. In the actual Hamfest area. So that would be closest to the main, I don't call it the main building. Maybe it is the main building. But where the barrel where you put the tickets in.
Spot P5, like Papa?
Number 5, spot number 5 in area 1. Or was it area 5? I don't remember what area was. But it's the main one.
Ben, you know, I've camped there several times. I usually in area P, which is up near the entrance. You know, you walk in the entrance, and then it's like the first row of campers there as you get in. And the dump station, I mean, the hookups there are really close. I've never been on the back row along the fence, but I'm not sure where. You know, there's like a P5. I think there's an area F, and like one. They have like 2 or 3 different area designations.
Our tie-in was right behind the camper, and my camper has the valve in front of the tandem wheels. So it'd be a nice little jaunt going back towards the dump part.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, they are behind because they, you know, it's concrete, so they put all the hookups back in the grass. So yeah, that is a bit of a run if your valve is in front of the tandem. The valve is in front of mine too. I guess mine was probably a little bit closer because I didn't feel like it was running it that far. But I guess if it's, you know, it depends on the space, I guess.
There for 2 nights, so I'm like, well, tanks aren't gonna fill up that quick. So I just keep them dumping when I get the camper because we already had that trip planned out for Dreher Island, and I know they have dump stations. We used everything the whole week and still had no overflow. my buddy from Columbia, he overflowed his. He had to back it up in the shower. And a tote thing that he got, they didn't bond at the seams very well, and it was leaking. Which tends to be a thing. If you buy one of them tote things, make sure it's good, because I bought one several years ago, and it was the same thing. And you don't find it out until you load it up. So note to self, if you buy a new one, water test it first. Just put water in it. Make sure it don't leak.
When I bought it, I filled it up with water, and I actually pulled around my neighborhood for a couple of miles, like up and down the street, just to make sure. I lived on a dead-end street, so there was never any traffic, so I could just, drag it behind my pickup truck at 5 miles an hour, up and down the street twice was like a, 1.2 miles or something. So, yeah, definitely wanted to make sure it didn't leak.
Things, it's a hard lesson to learn.
But those things are all 28-gallon when everybody's black tanks are 30-gallon.
36 gallons. What size? You can't pick it up to get it on the hitch to tote it. So you better make sure you got the wheels, and he didn't buy the one with the wheels.
78 gallon with wheels, but I don't remember seeing a 36 gallon option when I bought it, but this was, back in 2001 when, we had supply chain issues with everything, so it's hard to get anything.
Camper's got large tank, real large tanks in it, so I was impressed with the capacity this past week, that's for sure.
For extended boondocking, I've got an 80-gallon fresh tank, two 30-gallon gray tanks, and a 30-gallon black tank. So I can go a while by myself before I need to dump.
Tanks on there. Works good, though. NC9V.
K4TFW.
Interlaw came up from Charleston. She had just bought her camper, so I was trying to show her everything that she needed to know about it. She's got tiny tanks. We had to unload hers. Like they used to, especially if they come from China. Her stabilizer jacks in the back got them down no problem. I'm getting them back up. Yeah, and run both bolts off. So I had to get out there and unbolt the both stabilizers. Just got to buy two new ones.
And the electric motor jacks on it for doing auto leveling and stuff like that. But man, sometimes I wish I had manual jacks because I'm always having trouble with it.
Well, there's a lot of problems with those. How about you, kid? Which one you got?
Manual.
Head and front, which are motorized. Of course, need a fifth wheel. And I got the two stabilizers in the back. One of them is bent all the way back because coming up my driveway, it caught and just bent it right straight back. So I got to bend it back in place and bolt, rebolt or something. So we were able to launch the boat and retrieve the boat with the wife's car. So that made things a lot easier. I mean, it pulled it right up the ramp, no problem. I was surprised. Surgery there. Eric, going good?
Good. I still am definitely stiff and sore in the back and everything, but it's all the muscles just trying to heal. I've been trying to get back on the bike a little bit, ride my bike around town, but that definitely stretches them out a little bit, and I'm sore for a couple of days after that. But, I've been getting around, 30, 45 minutes at a time on the bike, and then I just take a couple of days off before I can do it again. And I'm walking and trying to start running a little bit, too. So just easing back into it. I've probably got another 3 to 6 months before I'm really back to 100%.
Look at that. I still feel like an old man. Shoulders hurt. Knees hurt.
And those things, too.
Run around like a spring chicken.
Yeah, my shoulders hurt. I think it's got arthritis in one of them.
And I said, I'd like to get one or two more camping trips in before the cold comes.
I'm thinking about doing something up in Cherokee, maybe the end of September, early October.
The leaves change. You're a leaf looker.
See, usually what happens is when we make that ride up to Kentucky, it's usually too late by the end of October.
So, every time we go camping, something's got to happen around the neighborhood, right around the house. Yeah, overturned dump truck right in front of my house. Yeah, I pulled up the video cameras with the of the house. You can see the tractor trailer wrecker down my old dirt road. Golly.
Yes, I think it was last year, right there between the angles and the red light.
Definitely, it overturned on the other person where they built a new house on their side, not on my side. So all the gravel got dumped on their side. But I probably should be laughing about that. But I'm here at work, so y'all have a great day. It's good talking to y'all. I kind of miss not getting in the mornings. But y'all be careful. Eric, Dave, Ken, y'all take care. 73 and C9B.
Have an awesome, safe day. KN4 TFW.
73 Leon, good to hear from you this morning, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. W2JKT. One more day. I'm just looking forward to 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
For that, when he got to his campsite, one of the whole wheel assembly and everything was gone.
Yeah, we doubled, Ken. I missed a good bit of that. Why don't you go again?
I was saying I saw a picture where somebody was showing their camper. They got to where they were going, and one of the whole wheel assemblies was gone. All that was left was a spindle and a bearing.
When you have a bearing failure,
fire management system or something, he would have known it was getting hot.
I need to get online. I don't have a TPMS for the trailer, but I've been looking at aftermarket ones, and I haven't gone anywhere recently and don't really have any plans to, so it's one of those back burner projects.
Trip to the beach, my son had got them for me for my birthday, about, I don't know, $50 on Amazon or whatever, but man, they worked really good. It told pressure and temperature.
What sensor did it use?
It all screwed right into the valve stem.
Getting a good temperature of the tire, but maybe it's just using some kind of proxy or something like that.
When it went up and down, I know if you parked it in the sunlight, it would definitely show it was getting hot and that. But I knew whenever I travel, I always touch the wheels and touch the hubs and that, and they always felt cool. Like, yeah, they were only running like 110 degrees.
A change in the pressure, because you know, as the tire gets hotter, the pressure goes up, so that's probably what it's looking at.
It does, but I felt like it was well worth it. I felt like, you know, it wasn't overloaded, I wasn't speeding or anything, so you know, it worked out pretty good.
Dig into the local shop to get all of the waterproofing inspected.
Line up and clean the roof and put down the sun.
And it's almost Friday. I just can't wait until 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
The interstate yesterday, did you?
Hey, what happened?
A couple of days, there's been some big wrecks right there, and right there around the 67, somewhere right there, 66, 67. I mean, the traffic's been being backed up for miles.
Yes. Here at 290 for a quick pit stop, so... If I'm not back in time, I hope you have a great day, but it should be too terribly long.
I'll say 73 in that case you don't get back, but have an awesome day and be safe. KN4 TFW.
WJKT 73.